Sorana Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, chapter 18, text 22.
Open to the book.
It's all transcendental, isn't it? Sanskrit mantra or prasadam mantra. I'll just read it. Sri Suturu Vacha.
Tadvishnuratasya sabadarayani vacho nisham yadritam alpam artavat sabhajayan san nibritena chetasa jagara satrayana sarvadarshana.
Sri Sutra Vacha. Sri Sutra Goswami said, Tat. Those. Vishnuratasya. Of Maharaj Parikit. Sa. He. Badarayani. Sukadeva Goswami. Vachaha. Words. Nishamya. Hearing. Adritam. Respectful. Alpam. Brief. Aratavat, meaningful. Sabha jayansan, praising. Nibritena chetasa, with great pleasure. Jagada, replied. Satrayana, Osanaka. Sarvadarshana, who is aware of everything. Translation. Sri Sudha Goswami said, O great sage Sanak, after hearing Maharaj Parikit speak respectfully and briefly on topics essential to hear, Sukadeva Goswami, who was well aware of everything, praised his endeavor with great pleasure and replied. Translation, please repeat. Sri Sudha Goswami said,
O great sage Sanaka,
after hearing Maharaj Parikit speak,
respectfully and briefly,
on topics essential to hear,
Sukadeva Goswami,
who was well aware of everything, praised his endeavor with great pleasure and replied. Report. Maharaj Parikit's question was very much appreciated by Sukadeva Goswami because although it was composed of a small number of words, it contained meaningful inquiries about how the sons of Diti, although born as demons, became demigods. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur stresses that even though Diti was very envious, her heart was purified because of a devotional attitude. Another significant topic is that although Kasyapa Muni was a learned scholar and was advanced in spiritual consciousness, he nonetheless fell a victim to the inducement of his beautiful wife. All these questions were posed in a small number of words, and therefore Sukadeva Goswami very much appreciated Maharaj Parikit's inquiry. Sri Sudha Goswami said, O great sage Sanaka, after hearing Maharaj Parikit speaks respectfully and briefly on topics essential to hear, Sukadeva Goswami, who is well aware of everything, praised his endeavor with great pleasure and replied. In regard to the story of deity taking the vow to get a son who would be able to kill King Indra, We were describing yesterday that Diti was feeling very distressed at having lost her sons, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. And she blamed Indra, because Indra
who was driven away, was conquered. He was conquered by Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Conquered by them. And he was driven away by them. So, he of course approached Lord Brahma, who approached Lord Vishnu. And it was Vishnu who came into this world firstly as Lord Varaha to kill the great Asura, Hiranyaksha. And then he incarnated again as Lord Narasimha to kill the great Asura, Hiranyakashipu. So although it was Vishnu who actually killed her sons, she was blaming Indra. She accepted the infallibility of Vishnu. What can be done? If Vishnu decides to kill someone, who can save them? But it was Indra who asked him to come. So, therefore she blamed Indra. So she wanted to get revenge. It's revenge. I think men and women in the Kali Yuga, they like to get revenge. But generally the women, more a psyche of women, try to get revenge. Is it true, Matajis? You like to get revenge? Not you, Matajis, of course, because you're all Vaishnavis. Vaishnavis, they don't like to get the revenge. Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis, they're not interested in the revenge. But materialistic men and materialistic women, they're always interested in revenge. Why? Because they're envious. They're envious of everyone. Always thinking, what have they got? What I haven't got? Why they should have? Therefore, someone does something against them, they want to get them back. This is not at all advantageous to someone who's a devotee. Because, after all, things that happen to you are endless. You'd have to be getting everyone in the world back. Over and over and over. This one did say, I'm going to get them back. The whole time would be consumed in just getting people back. Because the nature of the world is that you can't live here without something or someone doing something against you. The sooner we accept that, the more peaceful we will be. You can't live in this world. It is impossible to live in this world without something happening or someone doing something against you. So the Vaishnava, he understands. These things always, and his attitude is, I have done something, therefore I am getting this reaction. It is my fault, actually. This is the attitude. Something is happening to me. I have done something previously. Now I am getting my reaction through this person or through that thing. May not even be a person. You may be walking and the tree branch suddenly cracks and falls on your head. Now, you can take revenge at the tree. I once saw a friend of mine did like that. But something happened at something on a tree, but it wasn't exactly a big tree. It was a branch, some fruit, and it fell down on his head. So he's so angry. In fact, he cut the tree down. Took the revenge on the tree. So it can be something, somehow or other. I just read about yesterday from some person, just about the group of teenagers driving home late at night from some party, and the police pulled them over, checked them for alcohol consumption. The driver was found over the limit, he was told. Yes, immediately get out of that car and not drive that car. He was found over the limit. So all the passengers, a whole bunch of teenage girls, they had to walk home. So they were walking home and they were walking on the road, and one of them got hit by a passing vehicle and died. So this happens in the world. Unfortunate. She may have been not doing anything bad in this life. She may have been a good girl. But sometimes the bad things happen even to the good people.
sometimes the good things happen to the bad people. I mean, somewhere in the previous life they were good, those bad people today. Somewhere. And the good people somewhere, they did something bad. So now they have to get some reaction. So one is thinking that something happened to me and I want to take revenge on that. Then that is not. As I said, it will continue on, continue on. So anyway, Diti, she was thinking in this way. She wanted to take revenge. And she hatched a plan in her own mind how to obtain the results she wanted. She knew that she couldn't do anything as far as Indra is concerned, but she wanted a son, powerful son, somehow or other, get a son who was going to be able to kill Indra. She not only wanted to kill Indra, she wanted to kill all the sons of her co-wife Aditya, all the Adityas, means all the demigods. She wanted them all killed by getting a son that was going to be able to do it. Sometimes to get revenge, other people are used to bring about the result you want. You may know that you may not be able to get the revenge personally, but through, in the back, you're manipulating everything. And in this way, you get what you want. So she was thinking for the son. So she explained, as we read the verses following, that she decided to please a husband like anything. Here is said by Prabhupada, quoting from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that Kashyapa Muni, although a learned scholar and advanced in spiritual content, nonetheless fell a victim to the inducement of his beautiful wife. In other words, she had a motive for all of a sudden serving him so nicely. She was real super nice. Too nice. Too much devotion. There's an old saying. What's that old saying, Shandi?
Too much devotion is a sign of devotion.
Too much show of devotion. You know, if someone you have a relationship and all of a sudden they're devoted to you like anything, naturally you're going to be thinking, what's going on here? Why all of a sudden? But somehow or other, Kashyapa, being just captivated by his beautiful wife, didn't think until later on, we'll reach, he actually asked him for the benediction. He wasn't thinking, he was just captivated. Generally, a beautiful woman, it is mentioned in the Shastras, a beautiful woman practically get away with anything. This is mentioned in regard to Putana the witch. She came, she was a witch. She was a Rakshasa. She changed her form to a very beautiful woman. And when she came there, no one knew her. She's just a stranger. She was just a stranger. And all the cowherd men were away actually explained that Maharaj Nanda was paying his taxes. It was that time of the year we had to go to Mathura and pay the taxes to the king. Yeah, they were all away. So the women were there. And Mother Yasoda was there. Mother Rohini was there. And there was some festival. And Putana came in and disguised as a very, very beautiful woman. She looked, and they thought she must be some demigod. She was so beautiful and dressed up very nicely. She's a demigoddess. So we are actually very honoured that such a beautiful person, you know, someone's very beautiful, dressed and got a lot of opulence. That's the result of good karma. Because these days they're getting that and they're abusing it. But previously, when someone was very beautiful, very handsome, very nice dressed, generally they were a very cultured person. Along with that went very cultured. So when someone saw such a person, immediately they were a very cultured person. They're dressed nicely, they're beautiful, they're educated. And we don't know them, they may come from a far off land, but just by the look of them, they must be
very respectable. So she came in, and of course her motive was to kill Krishna, baby Krishna. But she passed very easily, went right inside them into the small room where Krishna was just lying. everyone was... So, in this way, you know, just as an example, the Prabhupada mentions that actually someone, a very beautiful woman, or in that regard, you know, very, very handsome man, but specifically a very beautiful woman, generally, people are captivated. It said the material energy works through the form of the beautiful woman for a man and the handsome, debonair man for the woman. Not so much the like the individual, it's the Maya's working through them, attracting. You can be attracted to that for sense gratification. And in this way, as we'll read in the next few verses, in this way you remain entangled in the world. It's mentioned that actually Brahma, to increase the population of the universe, he created woman from the better half of man. She's considered the better half. And even in the Western civilization, you have like that. He's my better half, right? Is that what they say? What do they say? Is that what they say? They say like that. They say the better half. Women, generally, they're very saintly. But if they get caught up, if they get caught up in revenge and envy and all these types of things, then they can become very self-serving. But in Kali Yuga, of course, both the men and the women are caught up in all these types of bad qualities. And the envy. Didi was very envious. Here Prabhupada says, Didi was very envious because her sons were killed. And she was saying, why is Indra? She was envious that Indra was living and in the position and her sons had been killed. So she was envious. So she was envious. She induced her husband, used all sorts of means, and then asked him for the benediction. Now, we'll read on that Kashyapa condemned himself for being induced and tricked in this way. But he, on reflecting and thinking very deeply, he decided that I'm going to engage my wife. She's asked me for a benediction that she'll get a son to kill my other son, because his other son was Indra. So one wife is asking for a son to kill the sons of his other wife. So how do you think he felt about that? Not very good. So he was condemning how he felt. He fell victim to this well orchestrated and planned inducement of his wife. But he was being very intelligent and being very advanced. He hatched a counter plan that was very super intelligent. And that counter plan was that he was going to give the benediction to his wife that she would get a son powerful enough to kill Indra. But there were certain conditions. Certain conditions she had to follow. And those conditions were she had to worship Vishnu for a whole year. She had to worship Vishnu for a whole year. And there's certain prayers that she had to recite. And she had to take bath regularly and not go out in the evening and not eat, you know, foodstuffs that wasn't offered to Vishnu. And in other words, he was giving her, in a kind of roundabout negative way, all the prescriptions for becoming a Vaishnavi, a great devotee of Vishnu. And he was thinking that when she becomes a devotee, she'll be purified, she'll be changed. And he said, if you break any of these conditions, then your son, instead of being born to kill Indra, he'll be a follower of Indra. So she accepted. Said, all right, I won't break any of the conditions. She was so determined. I won't break any of these conditions. We'll read about the conditions later on. I won't break any of these conditions. I'll follow it. And the story is that She wasn't supposed to sleep, you know, during the sunrise. You know, these things are inauspicious. During the sunrise, during the sunset, twilight. You know, all these things that you're not supposed to as a Vaishnava. Inauspicious. So one tied, because she was feeling very tired one time from following and eating very frugally, she felt very tired and she just fell asleep. So Indra, who knew about the whole thing, he knew that she wanted to do this because he had that power to know all these things. He knew. And he came and he also had a motive. He just served his auntie very nicely. Here's an instance where the woman has the great motivation to trick her husband into giving, because her husband was very powerful. So she tricked him into giving her that benediction. And then Indra came, knowing about what she wanted to do, he came in a very duplicit way, was very nice to her and served her. So here's an instance of the man doing the same thing, you know, with the underhanded motive. He's serving her very nicely, just waiting for the time, because he knew that the condition was if he broke anything, when she fell asleep, he took advantage by his mystic power. He went into her womb. He became smaller than the smallest, went into her womb, and with his thunderbolt cut it up into seven. But the living entity who was within the womb in the embryo, he didn't die. He stayed in one piece. And the other pieces, somehow or other, by the arrangement of Krishna, other living entities came in. And they were all crying together. Why are you killing us? Why are you killing us? Prabhupada actually explains there that this is how plants multiply, is that when you cut something from a plant, you plant it, how does this other living entity goes in? It's not that same living entity is there. Another living entity is placed in there by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of God. So then Indra said, don't worry. He said, I have to do this. And he cut again another seven pieces, and then other living entities came. There were 49. And then, you know, they all became followers. Why are you, we are your brothers, we are your followers, why are you killing us? So actually, they became great followers of Indra. But the thing is here, deities serving Vishnu, she became purified. And this is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains here. She, because of her devotional attitude, she was doing this vow. The motive was to kill Indra, to get her son to kill Indra. But even though she had a motive, because she was worshipping Vishnu, she was purified. In the end, it's explained that when she woke up, all of a sudden she saw Indra. She saw 49 sons. How did it all happen? And they were all happy together. And when she saw her sons, everything was explained. When she saw her sons were happy as brothers of Indra, she became happy because she actually got purified. She was actually happy then. She got purified from her desire to kill Indra. So all of us come to Krishna consciousness. We don't come for the pure reasons. We have the motivations. But just the fact of our association with the devotees, our service to Krishna, we become purified. Krishna consciousness is so nice, it is so powerful, that anyone from any situation gets a little bit of association. It's like there's one story of Rupa Goswami. You know, there's one story of Rupa Goswami when he was writing. And he was under some. He was riding under Kadamba. This is one of the when you go to on the Vrindavan Parikram. One of the far. I forget which.
On the way to Kadamba,
isn't it? Yeah. What's the name of that farm? Kandrava. There's one forest with that famous Kadamba tree. There's one Kadamba tree where Rupa Goswami, where he was riding underneath, and then. When he was writing, sometimes he was writing Vipralamba, the mood, the separation of Radha and Krishna. And he was feeling the mood. He was, so when he was writing that under the Kadamba tree, its leaves went pale, went dry, falling off. And then when Rupa Goswami was writing about the Sambhoga, the meeting, reunion of Radha and Krishna, he was feeling very happy. When he was writing about the separation, he was feeling, he was, you know, very sad about the separation of Radha and Krishna. So the tree was very sad. And then when he was writing about the reunion, he was very happy and overjoyed. And then the tree, its leaves became green and flapping. And so just by the association of Rupa Goswami, the tree became purified and spiritualized and actually connected to the feeling, the highest ecstasies by the association of Rupa Goswami. We know Lord Chaitanya, by just going in the forest, Jarikanda Forest, he was able to, even the deer, Jarikanda Forest? Yes. He was in, you know, the deer and the lion, the tiger, they were dancing by his association. So all of us have all sorts of conditionings. We have the envy, we have the anger, we have the lust, we have the greed. In the beginning stages, we're practicing devotional service. This is called the Aropasiddhi Bhakti. It's like almost like simulated. We're not really, we're doing service, cooking for Krishna, rendering service. Within our heart, we're not spontaneously on that level. We're doing because we know that this should be done. The guru is instructing. This is called the, you know, and just simulating the high levels of spontaneity. But gradually, by engaging in that activity, we become purified, and finally, at the end, we come to the level of spontaneously loving Krishna and rendering service to Krishna, following everything very ecstatically. We are actually, those who are on a very high level, they're, you know, they're bursting at the seams to run forward and render service to Krishna. When it's time for Mangalarti, we jump out of the sleeping bag and run to the temple. Jai Haribo! Actually, they're very advanced. He doesn't want to even go in the sleeping bag. He just wants to stay all night chanting and dancing in ecstasy. Isn't it? So this is the feeling of the high devotee. Sometimes it's contained, sometimes it bursts out. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're not being distracted, we're not doing the dive bomber japa or anything like that. No, the drone japa. No, we're feeling so much ecstasy. This is high level devotion. But of course we're beginning devotees, so sometimes the previous conditioning comes over. And along with that previous conditioning, there is also some envy, even amongst the beginning devotees. We see some envy, we see some greed, we see some lust, some anger. Sometimes, you know, you have a quarrel with another devotee, you get angry, say something you didn't want to say or shouldn't have said. Isn't it? This is because we're beginning and we're bringing up, carrying over some conditioning. Not everyone is on the level of prema bhakti, where everything, there's no envy, there's just pure love. So sometimes we experience even in the ashram. Although you would have to say that living in the ashram, probably, you know, how many, 6, 7, 8 devotees, if you had 7 or 8 men just living in that room at the back, just materialistic men, they would be fighting every day of the week. So one thing is that generally it's pretty peaceful. But every now and again, something is maybe done not properly, said not properly, but that is due to our previous conditioning. But we have to always remember that just coming and serving, we will be purified. Great, the maruts, who were conceived with the intention of being great asuras, enemies of Indra and the demigods, became great demigods themselves because of being purified, having been in the womb of their mother while their mother was engaged in rendering devotional service. So this is another thing. The baby within the womb gets the benefit of the mother's activity in devotional service. Very, very important. And the child growing up in the house, mother and father are devotees, engaged always in devotional activities and always arranging nice festivals in honour of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in honour of the Vaishnavas, grow up in such a household, then all the children are so much benefited. You read in the Krishna book and other shastras that every night, practically, at the home of Nanda and Yashoda, there was a festival. Some festival honouring some Vaishnava, some recitation, some dance, some musical performance, all in praising Krishna or in honour of some great personality. So in this way, the children grow up in a very nice atmosphere. They're purified. So all these qualities are all purified because of the devotional attitude. If we have the devotional attitude, we should always have this attitude, devotional attitude. So-and-so, such-and-such das, or such-and-such dasi, such-and-such bhakti, such-and-such bhakta, they have a good devotional attitude. Good devotional, good service attitude. Rendering devotion through service, then everything will be very nice, you'll be purified. But if your attitude is very, even you're dressed as devotee, if your attitude is not so nice, then the purification will be more slow. So your body may be doing, but your attitude or your mind is contemplating all sorts of things, then that will take extra time to be free from the revenge, the envy, the lust, the greed. So this is very, very important. Heart was purified due to devotional attitude. We always have to have the devotional attitude. Something happens to us, have this attitude that serves philosophical attitude. You have to have the proper attitude. Even the karmis understand you have to have the proper attitude to do anything. You know, and if you want to be athlete, they say you have to have the proper attitude, proper mentality. I was just reading and someone was saying that even in cricket, if you want to do cricket, some famous fast bowler, I figured who, I was just reading something, they said that in cricket it's 10% ability and 90% attitude. And then you'll be successful. You know, and when the athletes are all facing each other competing, you can talk, you know, you can talk to them. They all say, oh, if that, who's got the stronger will, who's got the stronger mind, will win the match. Because especially those of high ability, it's all about mental stamina. So mental attitude is very important. If you have the right attitude in Krishna consciousness, then you'll be very successful in your spiritual advancement. If your attitude is very materialistic and bad attitude, then you'll have so many difficulties will be there. When you have good attitude, even their difficulties, you'll want to overcome them. When you have bad attitude, you look for difficulties as an excuse to not perform Krishna consciousness. You look for the difficulties. You look for difficulties, you'll look for faults in others and use them as excuse. Why I shouldn't surrender to Krishna. You'll just see. You'll be looking at everyone. When you have the devotional attitude, you'll be looking at everyone very devotionally. You'll be seeing everyone. When you have the wrong materialistic attitude, you'll be looking at everyone, seeing the fault, seeing this one, you'll be building up a case file against them. Yeah? Materialistic people, they do like that. They're just observing. All right, I'm telling them, oh, we'll use this one in the future. You know, oh, remember the time you did this? Yeah, I said, I remember it. You'll have the case file against the person. So we don't want it to be like that, have case files against people. You know, just to get your way or whatever you want to achieve. You bring out the notebook. This is very materialistic. Very, very materialistic. You have to have the devotional attitude. So we see Didi was purified. We'll read about that. And of course, Sukadeva Goswami was very pleased in about Maharaj Parikit's questions on this particular story, because, you know, it's a story about how ultimately everyone became Krishna conscious, even though, you know, there were so many in the beginning wasn't their attitude was not good, but in the end, so all devotees like to hear that type of thing. Oh, he's through so many difficulties that one became Krishna conscious, because all of us experience difficulties. And generally, when we experience difficulties, when we're in the throes of difficulties, we're just thinking our difficulties are insurmountable, you know, unique to just us. Oh, you won't understand what I'm going through. No, I understand. No, you don't understand. No, I'm telling. I understand. No, you don't. These difficulties are only unique to me. But actually, so many devotees have had difficulties, and when you read about the difficulties and how they became Krishna conscious, oh, they also experienced those difficulties. But in the end, they became Krishna. You have hope. You become very positive. So this was a story like that. And not only that, Maharaj Parikit himself was very respectful to Sukadeva Goswami, very humble. And he asked...